Well, I don't know about you, but I'm starting to feel especially hungry looking at all this food that we've collected for Hull Food Bank. I wonder, what's your favourite fast food restaurant? Come on, hands up. Whose favourite is McDonald's? Yeah. Burger King? Yeah. I wonder, when you have those very tasty burgers, an hour later, do you still feel quite as satisfied? I know I don't. That feeling of full doesn't last, does it? I always end up wanting more. Well, a massive privilege of living in our time and country is not having a shortage of food. Many of us don't have to worry about where our next meal is coming from. If our favourite shop or supermarket doesn't have the food we want, we can always go and buy it somewhere else. It can be easy for us to miss the impact of Jesus' claim that he is the bread of life. For us, bread is not the main part of our meal, it's merely a sideshow, because we have so much more to choose from. Maybe you'll have a burger in a bun, perhaps a bread roll with our soup, a curry and a naan bread, or pasta and garlic bread. Some of the children today might have even brought breadsticks as a snack with them. It's not our main meal. But this isn't the case for many around the world, and those in our country in desperate times of need. Bread is the main meal. If you eat it, you live, and if you don't have it, you die. When we realise this, that we see that we do have much to give thanks to God for in regard to our physical needs. Those without was exactly the context that Jesus was speaking into. They worked to earn money to buy the bare necessities to live, bread and water, without spare income for holidays or a new outfit. When Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," the impact of this is that he is saying, without me, you cannot be sustained. Without me, you cannot live or be satisfied. Without me, there is no reason to get out of bed in the morning. I am the answer, says Jesus, to your deepest need. And it's a big claim for Jesus to make, isn't it? That he alone is the one who can satisfy what is needed for our every spiritual and eternal need. If we look over our passage today, there seems to be three ways to reject Jesus as the bread of life and so miss out on that eternal satisfaction. The first way to reject Jesus as the bread of life is to focus only on our immediate need, only on the immediate future, and so miss our need for the bread of life. Our culture has a tendency to think about buying now, paying later. Get what you can while you're young. The crowd of 5,000 have just been fed with loaves and fishes. They've had all they needed and were fully satisfied. They find Jesus on the other side of the lake and ask, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answers in verse 26, "Very truly I tell you, you were looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." They're saying, "Jesus, we're here. We've been waiting for you. We're hungry. Feed us again." Jesus continues, verse 27, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." I wonder, what food are we working for that spoils? What's the one thing that you've been worried about for this week? The one thing that you keep thinking about that's keeping you awake at night. What about for next month? Or for the next year? If we're honest with ourselves, or if I'm honest with myself as well, many of us will thought of things such as fun, food, friendship, our health, the state of our bank balance, retirement, deadlines, employment. Jesus says, don't be so concerned with your immediate needs that you forget your need for the bread of life, who gives eternal life. The second way to reject Jesus is to focus on self-reliance, that's relying on our own ability. Look at verse 28 with me. It says, "Then they asked him, 'What must we do to do the works God requires?'" It's an attitude prevalent today, isn't it? What we do defines us. What must I do to be this? What must I do to inherit eternal life? They think that they have to do enough. And it's easy for us to think that, even if we've been a Christian for a while. Jesus answers this in verse 29. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. All we've got to do is believe. Not working for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. Does eternal life come from what we do? No, Jesus said, verse 27, which the Son of Man will give you. That's will give you. Jesus fulfills all that is required for us. He's done everything that was needed. Jesus fulfills all that is required for us and gives it to those who ask. It's a gift from the one who holds the key to death and life. To receive this gift, we need to rid ourselves of the attitude of self-reliance. So long as we think we can make it on our own, we're never going to reach out our hand for the gift of the bread of life. So the second way to reject Jesus is to rely on our own effort rather than relying on Jesus. Thirdly, is having a curiosity that is never satisfied. Now it's good to ask questions to find out why, and I'd encourage you to do so. But this point is about never being satisfied with what you've got. Always wanting more. Verse 30, so they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Do you see what they're saying? They're saying, come on, Jesus, do something. Do something miraculous so that we can truly believe you. They want proof again. And so quickly after the great miracle of feeding the 5,000 with just one packed lunch. They've remained curious, but they're wanting Jesus to do just one more thing, waiting for just one more sign. We might say to ourselves, oh, if only God would do that. Or if only God would say that to me. They're never satisfied, always wanting more when they've had more than enough already. Jesus sets us and them straight, right away. Verse 32, Jesus said to them, I very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. God is giving you this true bread right now. It's right under your noses. But the people want to be satisfied in their curiosity, so they refuse to see who Jesus is, that he's the one who gives this life. We can be always waiting for one more sign, and so be putting off accepting that gift of life, and therefore never really being truly satisfied in this life, or more importantly, the next. We often think, don't we, that we need to get ourselves sorted in this life, that what we do defines us. If we can get ourselves sorted in this life, then we'll be sorted for eternal life. But Jesus turns that on his head and he says, no. Get yourself sorted for eternal life by believing in me. And only then will this life start to make sense. So the three ways to reject the bread of life here. Concern for the immediate. Reliance on self. And a curiosity that is never satisfied. If that's where you are today, I'd encourage you to find out about the claims of Jesus. Read the Bible. Ask questions. Come and hear what Jesus says in our series on Matthew, the King's Speech. Or if you can't make it, listen on the website. The verse for today in the King's Speech is Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Let me read it to you. It says 13, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. 14. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus tells us that there are many on the road to destruction. And it's easy to see when we consider how prevalent these three ways to reject the bread of life are in our society today. Concern for the immediate, reliance on self, and a curiosity that is never satisfied. The only way to gain entry to the narrow way is by believing in Jesus, the true bread of life. The mark of the church here today is not a people who are completely sorted, but a people who know they need a saviour and are relying on him. And just in case that you're not sure that pursuing the bread of life is really worth it, Jesus gives us a taste of the benefits in the next verses of who he is. He tells us just what we're going to get if we accept him. In verse 34, the crowd say, "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread, the bread that satisfies." And so Jesus gives them three guarantees which are for every single person. Not just for today or tomorrow. Not the kind that is going to run out after 3 to 5 years or 7 with an extended warranty. But those that will last into eternity. Each of them totally and utterly assured. They're very attractive. And they make the bread of life the most attractive thing on earth. Here they are. Number one, the guarantee of eternal satisfaction. The guarantee of eternal satisfaction. Verse 35, then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Food doesn't satisfy, but Jesus does. He does so spiritually, and we need not search for anything else once we've got him. Verse 36, but as I told you, you have seen me and you still do not believe. They're not satisfied with the life they have, with the evidence they've seen. They still want more. But Jesus says, believe in me and you will have eternal and lasting satisfaction. Number two, the guarantee of eternal security. That's the guarantee of eternal security. Verse 37 says, all those the Father gives me, that's all, not just some, those the Father gives me, will come to me. And whoever, not just a few, comes to me, I will never drive away. There may be some who fear that they're just too bad for Jesus. Hear Jesus as he says today, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Verse 39, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. Once we're in, we're in. There's no need to be worried about getting lost on the way to heaven or being rejected later. If you've pulled away a little in your Christian life and you're wondering if you can get back to Jesus, the answer is yes. It's always yes. You can. His arms are willing and open right now. And number three, the guarantee of eternal safety. That's the guarantee of eternal safety. Listen to what it says in verses 39 and 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of all those that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Do you see that at the end of verses 39 and 40? I will raise them up on the last day. Jesus himself will raise us up on the last day. There is no fear, if we feed on him, of ending up in hell. No fear of missing out on heaven, because he will raise us up. These are the three guarantees that Jesus makes that no one else has or will ever be able to make. The guarantees of eternal satisfaction, eternal security, and eternal safety. And it makes the bread of life, it makes Jesus very attractive. This is exactly what you'll get if you believe in him. And there are great reasons to put your faith in him. If you're someone here today who has not put your faith in him, then why not begin today? And if you have, it's a great assurance that it's not pot luck when you die, but guaranteed eternal life. Amen.